I got it from high-level White House sources, and I confirmed with others that were there, that they said, we don't want accomplices. This wasn't Trump. I mean, people at the White House heard this when they were having DOJ meetings. We're going with the lone gunman. We're not really going after the accomplices. I want the Trantifa. I want the six trannies that said, Charlie be dead tomorrow. I want them SWAT teamed. I want them arrested. And the word went out, no, we're not doing what the big guy wants as usual. We're going with this story and that. And then 2 days after I came out with that, Kash Patel comes out and says, oh, no, we're looking at all the angles and we're looking at multiple shooters. And and Dan Bongino, I sent you guys a clip. I didn't see it on my list. It's like a 15-minute clip. Pull that up for me. I'll send it again if you don't have it. I shouldn't see it on my list. Or just go to X and type in. Bongino says they're looking at the crowd helping the shooter. Well, you say you want a conspiracy. Yeah. They're like, yay, yay, cheering. They're not scared when it happens. Two people say they killed him and said we did it as a diversion for the shooter. Yeah, there's your conspiracy right there. And it's crickets on that. Absolute, total, and complete crickets. So, yeah. It doesn't look like a cover-up. It is a cover-up. A cover-up of what? I'm not exactly sure. And maybe it was Netanyahu. If we find out, we'll report it. And I predict, as I said 6 months ago, within 6 months, if Pam Bondi and Kash Patel don't have major indictments on the table, done, launched, delivered, they'll be removed. And as soon as the indictments start, not as political persecution, but as justice, they will collapse. And Trump knows that. And thank God he came out against Pam Bondi over the weekend with that letter saying, what the hell is your problem? We have all the proof of everything they've done. And you won't do anything. Good. Remove her. And remove Kash Patel. Remove them and put people in. The American people stand with you. But that's why the globalists are so scared. Because we're in a different ballgame now than 8 years ago, and they know that Trump is learning fast. Clearly, Pam Bondi's compromised. Clearly, that's what I've been told. Clearly, Kash Patel is. Bongino just wants out. They're using him as a placeholder. I don't think he's bad, from my sources. He just wants out. Trump, for an embarrassment, doesn't want him to leave. They've got the Missouri AG ready to come in, who we believe is a good person.
I've got to get 10 different assumptions to make this gunshot work. And maybe, right, Alex, in the universe of worlds, maybe the jackpot Powerball got hit and all of those things happened. And that's what led to this 30-odd-6 round net passing through his neck. If you want to believe that, and I know some people do, that's fine. But I'm sorry, it's not.
I don't know anybody wants to believe this now, but the FBI. But I was told 2 days before Patel came out and said, we're looking at everything, all the angles, helpers, hand signs. I was told from inside the White House, no. They're going with lone gunmen. They're not even looking at the Trantifa saying he'll be dead tomorrow. So I was told by very credible people there's a cover-up. And I don't say that with pleasure. Well, so let me tell you this one piece of intel. I got a call Thursday, and I didn't sit on it. I just was mulling it until Saturday, and then I made some other calls to another well-known individual, and they said the same thing. They were told, no, they're going with lone gunmen, and they're shutting down everything, and not even looking into the Trantifa that said he'd be dead the next day. So they're not even going after them because they want this story. Why would you do that if you weren't covering up?
Yeah, I don't understand who's tying up Kash Patel. Who has him so compromised?
Well, I'm not here to apologize for Kash Patel, and a lot of my good FBI sources really think he's bad news, like Kyle Serafin. But the consensus is, let's say, there's more of a consensus that Pam Bondi is political and cowardly and lazy. Those are the terms I've been given for her. And Trump had to basically threaten to fire her last week, not to get what he wanted. The grand jury had already indicted Comey in Virginia. But, yeah, I mean, look, we're going to find out very quickly.
All right, folks, third hour is on the War Room. You can find and share that video on Twitter, on X, at Real Alex Jones. I'm joined in studio by the one and only Rex Jones. We're going to pick it up where we left it off on the other side and start talking about what we can do to save this country once and for all. Stay with us, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Joining me in studio, the one and only Rex Jones. You can follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z.
And you should. Thank you for having me back on, Harrison. It's always a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine. There it is, Rex Jones News with a Z, and of course he does a show.
Oh, unfollow.
Wait a second.
Oh, okay.
Make sure you click that follow button one time only. He does a show called Gray Area Talks with his co-host Tim. Very, very interesting stuff. We got a lot. We're talking about today.
When I came in, Harrison had some things he wanted me to look at, so I put my little stacks on the table, and then I look over at him and all these glorious stacks that he has, and I just—it's
a mess.
Can't compete with that, man.
It's just a mess. But here's what I think is driving a lot of the headlines today. It's stories like this. Okay, quote: "I'm angry with my president. Trump voters in Florida confront the fallout of his policies a year before midterms." A year after Donald Trump's election, they gave him the key to the White House a second time. Many Latino Trump voters in Florida, who sealed the state's status as a Republican stronghold, are now questioning their decision. Trump's manifesto of economic prosperity and law and order clashes with the reality that continues to punish disadvantaged families. So, you know, I think they're getting some polls in. I think they're getting some, you know, surveys done that show that Trump is not so popular with his base these days, and it seems like he's doing a lot to try to reclaim some of that. He's making these angry statements about we got to get rid of the filibuster, we're going to lose the midterms because Republicans aren't doing enough. I mean, what's your take on this, Rex?
You know, it's very interesting to me as a young person that supported Donald Trump in 2020, but mostly in 2024 when I voted for him the second time. I voted for him to end the wars. That was my basis for justifying going and standing at 8 a.m. or whatever it was at the polling station and actually doing the whole song and dance and ritual for Trump. But looking at the situation as it is now with what's been going on with the SNAP and the EBT and the government shutdown, I think a lot of the low propensity, like people that don't vote a lot, minority voters specifically that are upset about policies like that, I think that this is not what they expected. So on a domestic level, I think it's that. I think there are also a lot of independents like myself that are more focused on the foreign policy and what we were told, what we were promised versus what we've been given currently. I mean, look, I've heard my dad kind of, you know, I've heard my dad say certain things about Marco Rubio, but I know my dad's also called Marco Rubio a political mercenary. And I think that's the purest description for him. I really like the signaling that we see from J.D. Vance, even though I'm not sure on him totally as a candidate. But I mean, I didn't vote for Marco Rubio to be, you know, the general of the United States military at the end of the day. And like that's something that I'm upset about specifically in South America. I think the number of people that we've killed is up to 61 in those boats. And you can go, yeah, they're drug dealers. They're bringing the fentanyl. I mean, here's the thing. It's a little boat. It's only really big enough to go from Venezuela to Nicaragua, not to the United States. And you could say, oh, it's transporting drugs there. That's why we got to do it. But I mean, like we are just killing people. And this is always one of the big criticisms with Obama, right? You can go to a libtard and they go, Obama's great. He's the greatest person ever. You go, well, he killed American citizens.
With drones.
With drones, he struck weddings, he struck hospitals. And, you know, when we have such a mandate to lead with the Republican Party, we have such an overwhelming election where Trump wins the popular vote, now we're kind of entering into a time where I fear that we're giving the Democrats the ground that they needed, right? And I mean, like, not sure how much you want to get into this, but the Mamdani situation. I've seen a lot of people, you know, it's like, you know, Cuomo's not as bad. I mean, he killed grandma. He sent people into nursing homes that had COVID, refused to get them treatment when Trump offered it. He sent the big hospital ship there. So Cuomo, to me, like, you can't ever support that guy. You got to step away because he had power. Look what he did with it. And Mamdani, I mean, I watch a lot of left-wing shows just to get, like, information and another view. And I've been watching Due Dissonance a lot, and they really like Mamdani, and they criticize a lot of the attacks on him, which I think are warranted. But at the same time, when they criticize or when they fawn over Mamdani a little bit, or however you say it, Mamdani, when they fawn over him, I'm just like, look, you see this guy's Chuck E. Cheese smile? Mm-hmm. Like, he's the fakest of the fake.
Yeah.
And, you know, a Muslim that doesn't cover his wife, a Muslim that, like, you know, he declares himself to be a Muslim, but he does all sorts of things that are, quote unquote, haram, you know, not allowed to hang out with drag queens or go into, you know, the head shop and do all sorts of things like this. But this is how he represents himself. And it really is that amorphous blob coalition that they always wanted with Obama. And they're getting it with Mamdani. But there's one issue where Mamdani is correct, and it's the war issue. Like, he's anti what's gone on in Israel against the Palestinians. And I think you go to a place that's liberal leaning, but also has independence like New York. That's how you get young people to vote, is, hey, just stop people from dying.
I don't think I'm alone in that. The first time I ever heard of or saw Mamdani was that viral clip of the mayoral debate in New York City where they say, where will you visit as your first international trip? And every one of them says Israel, except for Mamdani, which that wouldn't even be that bad. But then they all start grilling Mamdani and going, well, why didn't you say Israel?
I go to Israel. Yes, I've been to Israel six times.
So that was his first breakout moment. That's when he got his big boost. And from then on, it's just been up and up for Mamdani. Right. So this is what I actually tweeted this out, I think, yesterday, where it's like, if you are so scared of socialist or Islamist taking over in this country, then you need to focus on the problems America is facing, because the socialists are saying we have the solution to your economic problems, and the Islamists are saying we're not going to give a blank check to Israel. And these are things that motivate voters, especially young ones.
And the problem is, as the right, I'll just say, but really, you know, as constitutionalists, as Republicans, really not in the sense of being a Republican as a member of that party, but as in, like, we both support the Republic, right? Yes. It's like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I actually spent like the whole first hour talking about that exact idea. Yeah.
Right. So, like, we support the Republic as true Americans, right? And when you have one party that's outwardly bad, outwardly evil, but attracts kind of like these weak people and builds that giant coalition, then you have the other party that represents good values, but doesn't support or back any of them. You know, I think the second one is worse. I think the Republicans might be worse, because at least the Democrats don't really lie about what they're about. I mean, my dad, you, Gran Morello play clips all day of them saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. Right. But the Republicans, they go like, we're for peace and truth and liberty. And then Lindsey comes on the stage and goes, we ran out of bombs. I love President Trump.
We're killing all the right people.
And we're cutting your taxes. That's what he said. We're killing all the right people, and we're cutting your taxes.
Ooh, it just... Give me the shivers. Yeah, no, it's infuriating.
Can't we represent being, like, decent, you know, in our political, like,
or being machinations? Or just being strong in our beliefs and just going, look, this is just the way it is. Like, you can be offended, but, like, we're just standing on principle here. We're standing on business.
Right.
And you can whine and scream all you want. We're doing what we have to. And we cannot get that from them. And this is interesting, because this is sort of different than what you said, but I thought this was a very appropriate response to sort of the idea that the GOP is losing the youth. So Mark Mitchell, friend of the show from Rasmussen Reports, says, you don't get it, GOP. Only 35% of 18 to 29-year-olds approve of Trump's performance. That's, like, incredibly low. They are also far more likely to want Biden aides prosecuted for the auto pen scandal. So it's
and
like,
he should be. It's insane.
So it's not that Republican youth is, like, not conservative. They're dissatisfied that Trump isn't doing more. They're dissatisfied that what we must be done isn't being done. And so this is from Aesthetica, account on X at ANC_aesthetics. And he says this, I'll say it a million times until people get it. Trump's approval is going down because his focus has been too much on foreign policy and his DOJ hasn't figured out what time it is. We know what happens if Democrats get back into power. We know what happens if criminal Democrats are not held accountable. Young people are getting impatient. We want justice. They don't give a crap about foreign entanglements aside from not wanting to be in them. They care about domestic issues, immigration, rooting out Democrat corruption, cost of living, buying a house, getting a job. These should be the primary focuses of an administration if they want a chance in the midterms. And we haven't seen much of any of that. In fact, the only really positive move we've seen in that is the stock market, which is completely disassociated.
Right. The numbers
the
on
average,
the screen are going up. That means you're doing better, right? And I mean,
totally
look,
ridiculous.
Your government, your United States government, if you're an American citizen listening to this right now, your government gave over $300 billion to an Eastern European former Soviet bloc country. yep. called Ukraine, where a comedian turned TV actor turned president, like House of Cards Kevin Spacey, exists and rules as a dictator and throws men in vans and takes them to the front lines. It's so sick. And then they sell you this as if it's some sort of Star Wars story. Mm. Because everything is a TV show. Everything is media. And, you know, Alex talks about this a lot. He goes, like, people think that the TV is real. They think that that's real life, the real world. People watch these shows on Disney Plus about good versus evil, and they get fed that narrative from the media. And they go, yeah, it's good. And then you can't eat, you can't drive, you can't live, you can't work. And it, when it comes down to all that, I just want the American public to wake up. And we've been saying this for 30 years, but we just want people to wake up and realize, you know, we have the right as voters, as citizens of this republic, and that's a very old idea, it goes back to the BC, goes back to the Roman Republic. We have the right, guys, to demand what the people said that they promised they were going to do once they get in office. We have that right, and we're not given that right. And, you know, we've seen some movement from Trump, and he's done some things. I won't totally, you know, disavow the man yet. I mean, the January 6th thing, I know people that are out of jail right now that yep. would still be in prison, right? But at the same time, you know, wars still going on, debt still going up, inflation, it's over 3%.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I try to have empathy for him because, you know, it's always easier said than done. But like, you have the American army at your disposal. What are you, what is the whole,
right.
what is the problem here? Like, and you know what, if we got to take it on the chin, who cares, man? If we're not going to make it out, it's like, there's a sunk cost fallacy. I feel like we're stuck in now, especially with Ukraine.
That's the religion of our government.
Yeah.
Is the sunk cost.
Where fallacy. It's like now Trump wants to get like the precious metals out of Ukraine, all the, you
but
know.
But they're all in the Donbass. They're all in the disputed region, and that region is going to go to Russia.
And at the end of the day, I think if you ask the average American, like, would you be okay with just ending the Ukraine war?
They don't know where Ukraine is.
It's like, yeah, and I would be, it's like, oh, Russia won. Who cares? Let Russia, give Russia all of Ukraine. I don't care. Right. I don't care about Ukraine. I don't dislike Russia. I'm sick of all of my money being stolen. And it's like, it's death by a thousand cuts, or maybe put another way, it's like the Gordian knot, where it's like, USAID is robbing us. SNAP benefits are sucking us dry. We got illegal immigrants by the millions on these. The voting system is screwed up. The wars overseas are endless and constantly starting up again. And it's like all of these little problems that, like, if you try to untangle it, it's just like, I just want to slash through it with a knife and just go, you know what? I'm president of the United States.
And that's
we're no longer at war in Ukraine.
That's what we were promised with DOGE. You know, that's what we were promised with all these programs. And those things kind of get shut down. And then it just becomes, yeah, it's the industry of war. It's a good thing that we ran out of bombs, not from a supply chain issue or a stockpile munitions level. Oh, we ran out of bombs. That's really bad. It's good because we have to order more.
Right.
Like, that's what it's all about. It's about spending more money so the stock market goes up because they need some variable they can point to and go, look how good we're doing.
Yeah, and most of that is literally paying for, like, at this point, basically weapons manufacturing is the only manufacturing we do. And it's also weirdly like one of the only industries that actually employs Americans, because you can't have H-1Bs when it comes to national security.
Speaking on the rare earth minerals, which is very important, you know, there's been a United States policy for a while, and I heard, I think it was Scott Ritter talk about this, that if you get like a medical pack or something, and it's got, you know, Band-Aids in it, it's got antibacterial cream in it, and it's got a Q-tip in it. That Q-tip, if it's made with American cotton, we put sanctions on that stuff. We won't send it to you, XYZ. China's going to start doing the same thing with the rare earth minerals, and I bet it'll even do that with the rare earth mineral people they work with in Africa.
Right.
So we're entering into a new age here, and you know, I still think we have time to correct course. I think maybe if the Ukraine war is graciously lost, like if we just kind of pack it in there, I think we might be able to still work with the Russians and do some stuff. But we need to be able to, not in a globalist sense, but in a rational sense, we need to be able to interact with the world. And I consider myself to like mostly be an isolationist, right? I don't want these military bases in places they shouldn't be. I don't want these little like skirmishes and black ops operations happening everywhere. But at the end of the day, we're still going to need to trade with people because there are things that we don't have. And you have to pick one. You have to pick China or Russia to be permanently mad at, because both of those countries are the only two major powers that have the rare earth minerals that we need for everything we use, right? So why are we mad at the Russians? Why do we pick fights with them? Why can't we just come up with a simple diplomatic arrangement? It's simple. The Europeans have fear-mongered and spread a narrative since the fall of the Soviet Union that Russia is both weak and that it's a threat to the entirety of Europe. So they go, oh, it's weak, you can crush it, but it's going to take us all over and kill us. And the U.S. kind of wanders in there as like the drunk stepdad. It's like, I'll take care of the problem. I'll deal with it. And now we've been in this horrific engagement, and we spent over $300 billion on it.
And they think it's clever because it's, you know, killing Russians, and that's a great thing that we should be doing, which is, and it's only driving Russia.
Dehumanizing the enemy is always the first step.
And it's only driving Russia towards China. And that's another aspect that's sort of ubiquitous everywhere, is like the short-term thinking. And I
do second, third, fourth order thinking.
You got to do that. I was like, man, we should have like a political party that's like the second order party or the third order party. That's like, we are the party that concerns ourselves with the consequences of our decisions.
Oh, yeah.
Can we have somebody do that? Because, you know, well, first of all, you don't want to talk about collapse, that article on the other side. I mean, this tells you, you know, who's winning this conflict. We can go to .com. One of France's oldest companies, a 600-year-old foundry, just went bankrupt because it, quote, could no longer cope with the explosion in energy prices. These guys survived the Middle Ages, dozens of wars, plagues, Nazi occupation, but could not survive Europe's current suicide pact.
Oh, we love it, and that's directly our fault and our responsibility because we blew up – oh, the Ukrainians, excuse me. We blew up Nord Stream 2, and that was the power source from Russia to Germany and lowered energy prices. Like, they're paying three times more now from us than they were before.
So it's, you know, it's just outrageous. And then actually, we'll go to this video and I'll get your take on this, Rex, because this makes me mad. But clip 25, this is the type of thing I was going off today. It's like, we both, you know, I hate democracy. I really do hate democracy. I really despise it. And it really is the bellwether for destruction of a civilization when you become overly democratic. But it's like, you know, whether it's the woman, you know, in Canada saying we are going to make resident school genocide denialism illegal, it's like we can't let these people vote. I don't know what we do, but like, you gotta have to pass a test or something. We'll go to the video and I think you'll understand what I mean. Clip 25 here. This is some New York City voters about what is really important to them. Let's watch.
I think what's really important and standing out for me right now is if we can take ourselves like a high level, like not say immigration, not say economy, not say all the hot talking points, and just ask ourselves, how are we treating our neighbors? Like, how are we treating one another? And is it okay that yesterday, on Saturday, 42 million of our neighbors no longer can feed themselves? It is okay. Is it okay that our neighbors are getting taken off the streets by ICE? Is it okay that gender-affirming care is being taken from young people who really need it to survive? Is it okay that the Supreme Court has now justified racial profiling? That's not how I want to treat my neighbor.
It's the mayoral election.
I mean, but like she has just demonstrated an inability to make a rational decision about the fate of our country. Like, she's like, forget the buzzwords like the economy and immigration. It's like,
you see, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? So she wants these things that are nice, that are rooted in biblical theology, right? You know, do unto others and all that, and golden rule. But at the same time, that's not how you run the country. And that this is the feeling. This is what I talk about, the Star Wars narrative of like Ukraine, Russia, and stuff like that. It's like, we are the good side, and we're the fairy rebel angels, and we fight against the evil monster. Man, like, this narrative, it doesn't work out in real life. It's not real.
The problem is, she's like, you know, how we treat our neighbors, you know, we're so concerned that 42 million people were taken off food stamps. No, the concern should be that there's 42 million people who can't feed themselves. That's the problem. Now, how we fix that problem, we can discuss how to get there, but like, that's the problem, is they don't see the 42 million people being on SNAP as a problem. It's the fact that they're not going to be on SNAP anymore. That's the problem to them. And it's like, what is the second order effect? How about being on SNAP is not a good thing and we should try to get less people on SNAP, and how do we achieve that? But we can't, because these people don't understand second order effect. And it's just like, but if they expect food, you have to give them food, and you just should. Then she says, our neighbors getting scooped up by ICE. Is that how we want to treat our neighbors? They're illegal immigrants. They broke the law. Yes. Yes. If my neighbor is an illegal immigrant, if my neighbor goes on vacation, somebody else moves into their house and squats in their house, yeah, I want that person removed. That's actually being nice to my neighbor, because the guy who's not my neighbor is taking advantage of them. Like, it's just, I've never been like more disillusioned in democracy than hearing that right there. When she's like, what are the things most important to you? It's she wants more people on food stamps. She wants illegal immigrants to not be arrested, and she wants gender affirming care for children. And it's like, we're dealing with an economic collapse. We're dealing with like violence in the streets.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's like, And she's concerned about gender transitions for children. Like, she should not be allowed to vote. I don't know what sort of mechanism we need to do to deprive her of the right to vote, but she has presented herself as incapable and unfit to wield that responsibility. Okay? Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong, Unc. I don't think
you're wrong. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, what, you know, but what do we do? Because it's like, okay, do we really want to disenfranchise people? The other thing I was saying was like, okay, when you drop in 80,000 Somalis to a single district and they all vote for the Somali guy.
I totally agree with that. I mean, like, that's – talk about buying an election. You're just like, oh, yeah, we're just going to – you know, this small little county here, we're going to move all these refugees here, like, right away.
And that's just their seat from then on, yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, what – So what do we do? How do we
love our Somalis.
How do we paint? How do we track a path into the future? If yeah, man, your dad called it on that one. The Somalis, so good, so sweet. How do we chart a path into the future if all these people are just they're mad they're not getting their gimmies right now?
Well, you know, it would be great if we could just laugh at them and go, you know, these people are so stupid. Look at all the actual wins that we have. We had wars being ended. If we had, you know, Americans having more money in their pocket, if we had inflation lower, if we had, you know, these big tech companies not getting all this funding. Look, I don't agree with her position. I don't think that we should have 41 million like unemployed Ricardos on the food stamps. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, people do need to eat. And the government shut down right now, and it's the Democrats' fault, but it's still something where they're able to point and go, look, this is why you need to vote for us. And a huge portion of the American electorate are low propensity, means they don't vote often, and they're uneducated on the political topics, and they'll go with whoever sounds the nicest. So I feel like we've given these people a lot of wins over the past year. I've been observing more and more of the wins, and it's what makes me so disillusioned with the Republican Party in general, especially with Trump. Just the war thing. If we were able to say, hey, we stopped the death here, like that would be great. And you can go, oh, ceasefire this, ceasefire that. I'm talking about Ukraine. I'm not even talking about Gaza. And I'm going to keep talking about Ukraine. And you're going to keep listening to me talk about Ukraine because this won't stop for at least another year. Newsflash, red alert, put on the thinking cap. It's thinking cap time. Little Zelensky will get murdered by the Azov Battalion people if he ever surrenders. The Europeans are full throat on this whole thing. And Trump just simply doesn't care enough to stop it. So this is where we're at now, and it makes me really, really mad. It makes me really, really upset that this isn't the constant narrative. I heard my dad do a show a week or two ago, and he was talking about Ukraine and why everyone talks about Israel. Ukraine should be the focus. You know, I kind of agree with that. The more and more I learn about the ongoing situation, I mean, we're real close to nuclear war every day, and it's only thanks to the restraint of the Russians that we are not in it. So it makes me very mad that you got all these people that show up and go, why isn't that lady screaming and crying about nuclear war? Why isn't that lady screaming and crying about the money being sent over there? She doesn't know anything about it, and I guarantee she supports it. It's really weird. I see people, they go, I support Palestine and I support Ukraine. And like, I'll be honest with you, and we probably don't agree with this. Like, maybe we do. I support Palestine. I do. I think that they've been wrong. And it's kind of like the Native Americans, right? They're put on reservation. Now they have to leave that reservation. So the Ukrainian virus, the Ukrainian thought bubble that everyone has about them being like rebel alliance fighters, they are literally the Nazis, the stormtroopers. They are evil. And like, I truly believe this. Just the preponderance of evidence alone, just look at the situation. Look at the 2014 coup. Look at where we're at now. They bombed those people in the Donbass for like close to a decade. I mean, come on, guys. And we're expected to just love this and cheer for this. American electorate, like that lady, just so uninformed, man. Just so uninformed. Stupid.
And Trump gets elected in the war. Now we're 10 months in and seems like we're deeper in the war than ever. More on the other side, folks. Don't go anywhere. War Room continues in just a few minutes.
End of video.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is The War Room. We're looking at some incredible footage right now. Incredible in a bad way. UPS flight 2976 crashed around 5:15 p.m. local time today at Louisville Muhammad International Airport in Kentucky. This was a UPS flight, so only 3 people were on board, luckily, but the explosions that were captured from a bunch of different angles are just incredible.
Never seen anything like it.
I've never seen anything like this either. This video, you'll see the plane here start to
blows up on the runway.
Take off. It looks like it gets to about the end of the runway when you start to see the explosion, and it just grows and grows. So I guess this plane was probably at full speed when it exploded, and so it's left this gigantic flaming trail of debris through Louisville, Kentucky. And I'll just keep scrolling through some of these videos because you can see the pillar of smoke.
It completely blots out the sky.
Completely blocking out the sky. Here's the moment the plane crashes in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, is this the crazy one?
This is a crazy one.
Look at that. Look at that, guys. Boom.
I mean, exactly. It looks like an airstrike because it, and I guess, it was flying to Honolulu, Hawaii, so it was fully loaded up with
jet fuel.
With jet fuel, something like 200,000 gallons of jet fuel exploding in, looks like a scene from Apocalypse Now.
That's got to be the loudest noise in the world whenever that goes off. I mean, are we really seeing that only three people have died? Or, like, is that truck driving close to it in that first clip? I mean, I can't imagine that guy's okay.
Here, this is the aerial shot where you really see the scale.
This just happened.
This just happened minutes ago.
Minutes ago.
But look at that. I mean, it looks like a rift to hell. I mean, you know, it actually reminds
Hillary's
me.
Hillary's going to come out of it.
Yeah. No, it reminds me of the shots from the derailment in East Palestine.
Oh, we don't talk about that anymore. Oh, yeah. Vinyl chloride in the air and water. Oh, we don't talk about that.
Yeah. Well, we're reliving it right now. So this is Louisville, Kentucky. There's a shelter-in-place order because of the toxic fumes. There's another aerial shot. I mean, that is catastrophic. And, of course, this is a major point of contention right now because the air traffic controller, you know, unions are saying this shutdown is destroying us and it's going to get dangerous. And they're talking about shutting down airspace. Of course, we don't know what actually caused this crash yet. And it looks like it crashed right at the moment of takeoff with the engine catching on fire. But I would not be surprised if this has something to do with the lack of personnel available in airports. Again,
we hear about this getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, I may fly and do some things later this year. I may go on Lemon Party, which is in Los Angeles, and have a good time with Ben Avery. But it's stuff like this that makes me real hesitant to not fly. I got to be honest. Or real hesitant to fly, I should say. I dropped two friends off at the airport yesterday. And I was like, yeah, be careful, guys. Have a good flight. But you're getting in a metal tube that's apparently poorly maintained, very poorly maintained. And then you've got the air traffic controllers that are either not paid or like on leave. It's like that scene in Breaking Bad where the dude's having a bad day and he causes that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The air traffic controller. I mean,
right.
A couple seconds of, you know, not paying enough attention. So, yeah. But
this is why the computer will do it. And the data center is so important, right?
AI. We need AI flying all of our planes. This is wild. So we really don't know much about this now. We'll bring you any new information as we get it. This was from earlier today. Department of Transportation might be forced to shut down airspace next week. You will see mass chaos.
Number one country in the world, folks.
Uh-huh. I mean, it is one of those things that, like, people take for granted what we have in this country. And I don't think they're ready for a world where, like, you can't trust your transportation. You can't trust your police to show up. It's like people think of collapse and they think of this, like, you know, purge, or like, you know, the grid goes down and everybody suddenly scrabbling for food. No,
it really is everything being automated breaking.
The collapse is the slow degradation. I mean, look at Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, look at South Africa, where you have over half of the population entirely dependent on government assistance and something like 5% of the population actually employed in the private sector. I mean, the path that we're on can extend infinitely. It can just get worse and worse and worse and worse, and things degrade and degrade and degrade to where we're not very far from, you know, having to say a prayer and cross your fingers and carry your lucky rabbit's foot anytime you get on the plane, because getting to your destination is not guaranteed anymore. We're so used to things just working. I don't think we're prepared when things just don't work.
Yeah, and then it's a perfect example. You got a company like Boeing, right? And Boeing used to be run by engineers, used to be run, you know, for making the finest products, making the finest commercial aircraft and military tech as well, but on the commercial side. Then you have the profiteering come in of, you get a bunch of CEOs that are finance guys that are, you know, save the money, find the money guys. And they go, look, we're just going to cut the quality down a lot. And then once we do that, you know, no one will really notice. Our planes are still good planes. But over time, over, you know, the couple decades that's been the case, the company culture gets ensconced in that. And then what you get is a completely broken, like, vestigial thing that's supposed to work and has all this great history. So people trust it and they get in these planes and they die.
Yeah. Well, and remember when the Colonial Pipeline, I think it was called the Colonial Pipeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shut down, and they literally did not have anybody that knew how to manually shut it down. So, like, the electronic system failed, and there were no engineers with the knowledge of how the thing actually worked to be able to repair it. So it was down for, like, a really long time.
This is why if you're young and you have the opportunity to learn some sort of artisanal trade or some sort of actual, like, you know, specific or niche, like ham radio operator, stuff like this, like bygone things that are really valuable and may become extremely valuable again, but things that people have just forgotten about. I mean, like I look at like an electrician or even like a plumber or someone that's very, very smart. You can't not be smart on a technical level to get that job, right? And then you see all the adults, like male and female, like essentially in an adult daycare.
Yeah.
Right. And like my life is ridiculously soft and easy. All I have to do is manage a warehouse. So that's just boxes, right? But people that are in charge of doing the real technical skill work, those are going to be the new heroes of society. And that's coming.
Yeah. And you know, it, you know, what reminds me of is the, remember the submarine that imploded?
Yeah. Ocean Horizon or whatever.
Yeah. The Titan sub, right? That guy. Same thing the Boeings go through. He's like, I don't want these old boring white guys. We're not hiring you old boring white guys. And it's like, well, the old boring white guys are the ones with institutional knowledge and engineering experience. So like that's who you, but those, the people with the knowledge are literally like being fired and replaced with some, you know, Indian with a degree from a degree mill. And they're wondering why the planes are falling out of the sky. It's like, what do you expect when you're cutting corners like this?
The problem with all of this stuff is that there's totally enough money to fix it. There's totally enough money to run the company well. Just like these fast food places that use all the artificial dyes and the crazy preservatives.
Yep.
You could not do that. You could make like 10, 20% less. But it's like Rockefeller said, one of his famous quotes is, how much money is enough? A reporter asked him. He said, one more dollar.
Right.
Yeah. So like that's what it's all about. It's all about literally squeezing the pennies and the life out of the American people at the same time. And we just get used to this level of service, right?
Yeah.
But I went out to the Domain and I went to a nice pizza place. I went to Grimaldi's and I went and had pizza with someone and we got two pizzas, $100, $100. It's like a steakhouse or something.
Wow.
Say, oh, it's nice pizza. It's expensive. Yeah. In 2016, I feel like if I went there, I would have paid like $30, $40, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's reached a level now where you can see it in everything. You can see it in the fast food prices. You can see it in the electronics prices. Things that we looked at as cheap and great value and things that have become, you know, so much less expensive than they were before. It's all climbing up there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and just, again, you know, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes you just get a series of bad luck. But, like, there was a time a couple weekends ago where I was just trying to run some simple errands. And it was just like, how does nobody know anything? Like, nobody knows anything.
Oh,
nothing
is. The employees just like wandering around.
The employees have no idea what I'm talking about. They're like trying to search stuff. And I'm like, I can search this myself. I don't need you. Like, you're not even as good at searching as I am. Like, don't worry about that.
When you go in the store and they just give you a little headset and the AI is like, hi, I can see exactly where you are right now.
Is that a
like,
thing?
I'm just making it up. I'm
it's
sure
gonna
it will
be. It's going to be
a startup idea for the globalists for a new control mechanism if they want to steal that from me. But you'll have a little headset you put in and it'll just say, I have mapped your location in the Home Depot.
Yeah, dictate where to go.
All you're looking for is on 37B. People go, oh, that's great. That's fantastic. I want to be able to find the item. No, because every time you see the control to the thing, it's just like AI making people dumber. You're not using your brain.
Well, so, and you're also, you know, what always gets me is like you used to go to the airport and you check in at the check-in desk and you just go, here's my bags, plop, here's my ID, plop. And then the guy behind the counter would do it for you. Then they remove that guy. They put in a self-checkout thing. So I'm standing there with my bag and trying to tag everything and trying to tag the bags. I'm lugging them myself.
Incorrect.
And it's like, okay, so you've just put the burden on me. You've just offloaded the work that you're used to pay an employee to do onto me. I noticed that my ticket didn't go down any lower. My ticket went up. Yeah. So it's like, okay, things are less convenient and they're more expensive and everything follows this path. Like, how is that possible?
And we're talking about America. We're bitching about America. Let's go, excuse me for the bad word. Let's go to this tweet from this Drew guy. I believe he's from Australia. See the Ukrainian.
Oh, this is a crazy story.
I see the Ukrainian flag in the bio. I don't like that, to be honest. Please help me. I am being raped as we speak. The LNP-controlled Brisbane City Council is threatening to bankrupt him over the blank sign protest I held outside the Chinese consulate 3 years ago. They took me to court over the sign I sadly lost. They now demand I pay $23,000 and some change as punishment. I offered to serve 3 months in the prison. They refused, and instead they want to pursue him for bankruptcy. Oh, where have we heard that before? Mm-hmm. It's just civil court. We're your friends. Come on. Like, they send you to jail, and they ruin your ability to live a life by putting you in all this debt, right? Please contrast the vigor the Australian state now displays in their attempt to destroy me over a blank sign with their complete lackadaisical approach to finding the crackhead who broke into my car and stole my wallet in July. Oh, that's not important, mate. It's not important at all.
Let's be clear here. And I think this, I think he has a picture on it. This guy held up a blank sign. He held up a sign with no words on it, and he has now been given a $23,000 fine for this, because that's what happens when you don't have free speech. A blank sign is considered offensive, and he is now being pursued with vigor, as he points out.
Right.
Classic anarcho tyranny.
And look here, a jihadi with previous criminal convictions for ISIS recruitment. Oh, isn't that fun? Wave the Al-Qaeda flag over the Sydney Harbor Bridge and nothing happened to him. What we can really take from this, guys, is free speech is so important. And we talk about how bad things are here in America. We have to fight like hell to preserve the few rights that we have, because you look at a place like this, Australia, they got some of the best culture, some of the best people, some of the best MMA fighters, people like Volkanovski. And they are in this completely cowed society where they can't do anything. He can't even hold up a blank sign. But a crazy Muslim guy can go wave the Al-Qaeda flag. If you're going to have speech restrictions in your society, which you shouldn't have, it makes your society an authoritarian state. But if you have them, shouldn't they be applied at least somewhat equally? But we're talking about the nation that like forced vaccinated people and sent people to jail for COVID protests. So boo Australia, L Australia, W Australian people, we love you. But your government is one of the worst. I think they may even be worse than the UK. The UK is a real bad place. I mean, Keir Starmer and the stuff they do over there. I mean, that meeting he had with like JD or Trump, and he's like, you gotta stop the censorship. It's not cool. You gotta stop it. Oh, we don't censor. We have free speech. We have free speech here in the UK. I mean, that's such a lie. You have these police officers that run around with no guns and little yellow vests that go to a girl's door because of a social media post, but then they just like ignore or watch a stabbing. But we're a righteous government and we support the people.
Yeah. And that's the, I mean, it's better to have no laws than selectively enforce laws.
I agree with that, actually.
It's the worst out of all the options. And like, so like if you have law where like the law is the law, and if you break it, you break it and you get punished, like great, fine. Everybody's subject to it equally. Or when you have anarchy and hell, you know, some guy breaks in my house, I get to kill him and bury him in the backyard and there's nobody to tell me otherwise. Great, I'll defend myself.
Right.
But it's the selective enforcement, the anarcho tyranny. And people say two tier, but it's beyond that. It's the same thing will be legal for a minority to do, and it's illegal for it's even worse. We showed a video the other day from the UK where people were being arrested for waving Palestinian flags, for participating in a pro-Palestine march. This guy's walking around with a microphone going, "I'm advocating for the genocide of the Palestinian people."
I was here
with
you. We watched that clip. Yeah.
I want them to kill the women and children.
To the police.
And the police are going, "That's your free speech. You have a right." While they're literally physically hauling off somebody for waving a flag. So it's like, it's beyond just like two-tier policing. It's inversion.
When will the Europeans do something about this? I mean, they're so weak. They're the only people on the planet weaker than us. And it truly is crazy to put up with this in your society. I mean, look, we criticize people all the time. I don't think an angry Shaniqua would put up with this. You know,
hey,
like.
Speaking of, should we go to that video? Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
This is righteous. It's good. It's actually exactly.
Oh yeah, I know what you're going to go to.
You know what you're talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Clip 27. This is the energy that we need. I think Rob Dew pointed this out, where he's like, sometimes you need the angry black lady energy to get stuff done. Let's go to clip 27 now.
Adults, men, grown men with big in the women's locker room. And that's why I'm getting kicked out. And I want to make sure the girls know.
So normally when we're showing videos of, black women getting angry inside business establishments, it's not to celebrate them. Different this time. This woman is exactly right. She was kicked out of a gym for complaining that there was a man in the women's locker room. So she letting everybody know that there's a man in the women's locker room and she's not happy about it. That's what we need. We need people not taking this quietly. I got to say, it's actually a criticism of like white people. We really do have the biggest problem with this, which I always say we need like the Jewish mom energy, where like white people, if they find out something's happening they don't like, there's a propensity, and this is just, you know, it's a stereotype and whatever, but you know, it's the propensity to go, "I don't like that," you know, quietly kind of like give each other the look and go, "This is kind of," but it's like, no. When you see your child being taught something you don't believe in, you need to be in the classroom, in the teacher's face, demanding satisfaction, like the way a stereotypical Jewish mother or black woman would do. You need to not be quiet. You need to not be silent when you are right and righteous and angry about something. And like, the American people don't do that. correctly. We don't do it.
Or they do it
when
about,
we should.
They do it about the wrong issues.
Exactly.
As well. And that's
what I mean.
That's what's very important to realize is we spend all this time getting upset over things that are domestic, and the domestic things are really bad, but the foreign stuff is even worse. And if we don't realize this is a society where our money has gone, I mean, there's a limit to how much we could print. Maybe we could print more now and fix this whole scenario, or at least attenuate it. We're heading towards a scenario where people talk about 2028, they talk about JD versus AOC or whoever they'll decide to run at the end of the day. I hope we get there, because the way things are going, the way prices are going, when you lower inflation as Trump has done, you're not getting rid of the increased price. You're just slowing down how much it increases in the future.
Correct.
And there's going to be a limit one day where people go, hey, I can't pay $8 for milk. I can't do that. I can't pay $20 for a pound of meat. I can't do it. I can't pay, you know, $10 for a little thing of rice. I can't do it. At the end of the day, like, what happens when our consumer culture that we've built kind of as a replacement for God, what happens when that goes away? And it's what you're talking about with the plane stuff. It's the anarchy that might set in. It's the craziness when none of these systems are maintained. I see it as almost unavoidable at this point. And that's why, like, we have a very prepared audience. We've always encouraged people to be prepared for the future. We're really heading into that time. And it's just like we talk about the show being shut down. People go, oh, show isn't being shut down. The show's keep being in the studio. One day we won't be in the studio. And when that happens, people go, oh, we need to support. We realize now. I mean, it's a simple calculation, right, Harrison?
Yeah. And you know, it's the same thing. Hell, we've been through it. It's like one of these days, like you can ignore it. You can brush off the consequences. One of these days, the murder on TV that you're ignoring
will
is going
to
be
home. Yeah.
Your family,
come to
your
house, your
friends. And it's like, I'm not saying that just to fearmonger, like it'll be you next, but literally, what is the other option? I mean, if everything is getting crazier, if violent crime is out of control and on the rise absolutely everywhere, and nobody's doing anything about it.
It's because people don't know anything about the world. They don't know anything about the planet we live on.
Tell me about it.
They don't know anything about real life experiences. And like, I'm sitting here, I'm not high and mighty about this, but at least I know what's going on across the globe. Most people don't know where any countries are on a map. They think Africa is a country and all this stuff. And you say, oh, like, you know, it is what it is. People are, you know, useless eaters, as Klaus Schwab or one of those people would say. But no, people are people, and people have a lot of value. When you deface the image of God like that to that degree on a mass scale, and you don't have that many good people left, you enter into a scenario where nothing can be fixed, because the people that are supposed to fix the thing, it's not even that they can't do it. They don't want to do it. They don't care.
Yeah,
it's apathy and it's nihilism and it's the religion of death. It's as Alex said, it's the boot stomping on the human face forever. And that's what hell is, and that's where we're approaching now if we don't do something about it. And like, that's why I love InfoWars. It's why I love you, my dad, Brianna Morello. I love all the shows. I watch every single one damn near, because I see us out here doing this every day, every week, every month, every year, continuing to go on and on and on as a success, as a victory. And with all the black pill stuff, we also have to realize all the people that we helped and saved during COVID from getting the shot, the Jan 6 people that have been freed, the election fraud that's been exposed, all of these things. These are all wins, and they do push us sort of in the right direction. But if we don't focus on the meta level stuff, which is all our money is going away and it's going to these foreign nations, they're going to lose their wars and be defunct at some point. And then all the talk about allyship and, oh, we need strong partners across the globe. We have the weakest partners across the globe. They're only sustained by our money. And when our money goes away, it's all over. And when it's all over in the foreign sense, where people won't buy our debt, it'll be all over domestically, where our economy will truly crash. And then it doesn't matter about the stock market and the AI and the data centers. And that's why they need to automate everything. That's why they need the robot. That's why they worship the robot. You can say it's bad to have Jose in the field, you know, doing the work, but it may even be worse to have Wally doing the work. And I think it really is worse to have Wally do the work, but that will be sold as a solution. We won't know how to do anything, and then the robot will come in, and the robot knows how to do everything, and they give us UBI.
Wow. Yeah. Powerful. Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right. I mean, that is the way things are absolutely going. And
right.
as we collapse into the incompetency crisis and we don't even have the institutional knowledge anymore, again, things are only going to continue to decrease. Now, we could reverse that at any point by prioritizing education, by not giving in to the, you know, race to the bottom that we experience across the board when your goal is equality, and it turns out it's a hell of a lot easier to tear down those on top than build up the ones, you know, underneath. We really need a full-fledged, like, worldview reset where we go, look, We don't want people to be on SNAP. It's not nice to give them SNAP. It's you want them to be self-sufficient and strong and self-reliant and independent. That's what freedom is. We don't want
people subjected to this stuff. You're treating people like animals at the end of the day. When you, you know, try to do everything for them, you're just trying to give them a path to slaughter. At the end of the day, like, you know, the cow has a life. The cow gets born. The cow gets taken care of. The cow gets weaned. The cow, you know, eats the cud and all that and drinks out of the trough. And then the cow gets shot in the head. And see, that's all a very pretty organized system of the world. Right? For the cow is born, it lives its preordained life, and then it dies. And there's still an element of freedom to the world, and they want to get rid of that. They want you to be like the cow, and you just have your path, and you die. And hey, maybe that's what people want. If you can watch Netflix as the cow, if you can get DoorDash as the cow, yeah, you can smoke weed as the cow, you can do all these things, but eventually it's slaughter time. And we'll reach that point, especially sooner, if people aren't informed, people aren't screaming from the rooftops about it. So like that black lady is angry about something good. She should also be angry about this, and she should be on social media or doing a show. Everyone should do a show. And I heard Fuentes make the point, not to go off on a tangent, or Nick Fuentes make the point of, you know, you shouldn't really do a show. It's for very few select people. It can destroy your life, blah, 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 blah. Everyone needs to be talking about this stuff. Everyone needs to do a show. I completely disagree with that viewpoint that he gave, because how are we going to fix this? It can't just be one person, because people are going to die. People are going to be killed. People are going to whatever.
Yeah, you know what? Your dad had a caller, the Muslim caller today, who was talking about jihad. That's what we need. We need to be waging a righteous jihad, because what he was talking about was like,
Holy war.
You know, what he was saying was like, if you go in and you work as hard as you can every day in your job, and you do that because you know that you're going to make money, that you're going to be able to contribute to the cause that you're working for, you are engaged in jihad. That's how he was putting it. And like, that's sort of how we need to be. It's like everything you do needs to be focused on the ultimate
goal.
Everything
you do must be jihad, Harrison
Everything
Smith.
You do must be jihad. Your life must be righteous jihad for America. The crusade must encompass you and encapsulate your every being.
Now, is that radical, or is the path of the cow radical? And that's the choice you have to make in today's world. And I mean, Harrison, that's such a beautiful point you make. And just in closing, if anything you want to say?
I just think, you know, you don't have to have a show. You don't have to do what we do. Not everybody can do what we do. If you want to, I encourage you to do it. Learn a skill, learn to edit, learn to animate, learn to make music. I mean, learn to talk to people in your work and introduce them to new ideas. I mean, people are dumb as bricks if you go out and start talking to them, but you can introduce them to things in a nice way, in a pleasant way, in a friendly way, not in a combative way necessarily. You can do so much as an individual, no matter what your skill level or education or anything.
And this is why, to a certain extent, even though, you know, I disagree with him on a lot of things, this is why Rogan is important. This is why people like that are important.
100%.
Because you have to wake people up to a little bit of the worldview before you give them the full red pill. Because, like, it's like Nick said, ODing on red pills.
Yeah.
That can happen.
Oh, yeah. You know, ODing on red pills.
Your tolerance is low enough.
Can be very bad. But when you introduce people to this, you're introducing them to meaning. Like, you're introducing them to a burden that they will celebrate carrying. It's really a beautiful thing, freedom. It's a beautiful responsibility. Rex Jones, follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. Are you going live tonight?
Not tonight.
Soon,
Thursday,
very soon.
Thursday
He'll be going
night.
Live
Join
very
us
soon.
Thursday night. Thank you very much.
Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is 3 times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle, because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus. It is so amazing. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. And just like you said, Alex, we have suppliers that we work with, manufacturers that we work with in Florida, Utah, Arizona, and other places. We reached out to all of them and we asked them for a formula that would super enhance the effects of Methylene Blue, but also work as a standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shield your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement.
Batman, the Bat Computer picked up a transmission from Alex Jones, and he's holding some kind of red serum.
Indeed, that appears to be ultramethylene red, a powerful supplement, perhaps too powerful if it were to fall into criminal hands.
Holy neurotransmitters, Batman. What if the Riddler gets a hold of it? He could outthink us for once.
Precisely why we must act swiftly, old chum. To the Batmobile.
There he is, Batman. What's red, bottled, and drives your brain batty with brilliance? Ultramethylene red, of course.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.